Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Right, boys, we're actually recording that. I wish people would listen to the podcast, to the chats that we have before the podcast, about things like decibel levels and how utterly uneducated we are about podcasting.
No, you don't want to, as we always say, you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Phil. So true. And you definitely don't want to hear the conversations about the nights we were having last night and the stag do's, nights out, booze cruises and stuff. Let's talk rugby.
You've been on a booze cruise?
I haven't personally.
I have. Oh, you've been on an actual booze cruise, right, okay.
On a very functional booze cruise, driving more than 600 miles in the last 2 days to get down to Calais and back.
Yeah, oh, you must be cursing the exchange rate.
Well, it has.
It's levelled off a bit.
It has directly cost me an extra £200. But I'm still saving.
That's the cost of democracy, Phil.
Right, boys, let's get into it.
Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three guys that love the game. And we, unlike many other rugby offerings, are here with you every single week, 52 weeks a year.
Except for Christmas.
Oh, no, do we give ourselves a week off at Christmas?
I think we do give ourselves a week off
at Christmas. I don't think we did.
We have sometimes.
In the past. Well, anyway, the point is, it's the summer now, and, well, not that you know it from the weather, but it's the summer now, and everyone else seems to have shut up shop. We are here with you because we love the game that much, and there's still loads to talk about. So you can subscribe on iTunes, on Acast, and thank you very much for the reviews that have been left on iTunes. Really appreciate that. We don't ask for money. You'll be welcome to send some, but we don't ask for it. We do ask for a moment of your time to leave a review. So Pendleston says, "So good, I deleted Brian Moore from my iTunes."
That's harsh. Brian's a nice guy.
"I never get round to listening to him because I only like Nigel Owens anyway. Keep up the good work." Thank you very much.
Okay, fair enough.
Jim O'Colfe says, "I commute to work one day a week on a Friday, so I save the pod for then. It's like having a cold beer in the fridge all week."
I want his job.
"Resisting it until the weekend hits. The wait is hard, the temptations are many, but when that day comes and the pod begins, oh my word, thank goodness."
Incredible self-discipline.
Wow. It is, isn't it? And Pete Howarth, final one here, says, "It's my favourite podcast in an exceptionally competitive market." So he says, the things he likes, he mentions perceptive analysis and insight, particularly from Phil. He mentions lots of things, but I'm just highlighting a couple. He also mentions excellent plugging of handcrafted personalised shafts.
Oh, yeah.
And he says he also appreciates, having looked at our Twitter page, at Rugby Podcast, that he thinks JB looks like Shrek from Shrek 2. Ooh. After he'd been transformed into a human.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Okay, and you get a picture of Shrek.
It's not bad.
Shrek is a human.
Shrek, I guess.
No, it's definitely not as bad as being Shrek. Yeah, but Shrek is a human.
Oh dear.
Have a look at the picture on iTunes. iTunes on Twitter at Rugby Podcast.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh no.
I can see it.
I can see that. That's the worst part. That's not good.
I think it's good when he becomes a Prince Charming equivalent.
Oh dear.
But Pete Howarth particularly liked our the way that we, you know, talk up the greatest razor on the market. Thing is, we don't need to talk about that this week because Michael has done it. He's tweeted us at Rugby Podcast and says, "I've just got my hands on a Cornerstone razor as sharp as some banter from James Haskell. They have made a bloody good razor. Thank you, Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, for the heads up." You're welcome. And Michael spent as little as £4 to get his hands on it because he got his £10 discount by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers to get a £10 discount and try the best razor on the market as voted in the GQ Awards. You can also put in, JB,
Egg 10
at checkout. Right. So, by the way, if you are listening for the first time, I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello.
AKA Shrek. And Human Shrek. And that's Phil.
No,
hi, Tim.
It's going to stick.
Phil wearing a very tight top today, Phil.
It is. I've been to the gym. It's a good fit, this one. I like it.
Yeah.
It's a good fit for you. It would be a terrible fit on me.
All right, then. So there's still stuff to talk about. I mean, there's Super Rugby going on, but it feels to me like it's the strange 2016 that lots of people are talking about, with sort of a strange feeling around, is spilling over into rugby as well. There's some strange things going on.
Go on, Tim. I'd like to see where you're going with this.
Well, first off, can we just talk about the fact Stuart Lancaster is advising the Football Association?
Why? 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 Well, it's almost like jobs for the boys, isn't it? Except the main problem with sports is there is a winner and there is a loser. So you can't just, you know, carve out a role and then parachute someone in, and they're completely ineffective, but nobody knows. Sports, actually, there is an actual end result. So it's amazing. I'm amazed that these people just carry on going round in circles to different organisations and getting roles. It's just baffling.
Well, after winning the World Cup, you can understand why Clive Woodward was... why Southampton were interested in, yep, what he had to say.
And 100%.
You can understand why British Olympic Committee said, we're going to give you a prominent role, because you've got a proven track record of success.
Mm-hmm.
What Stuart Lancaster has a proven track record of is probably developing young players, right?
Yeah.
That's what he's been brought in to talk to the FA about, I don't know.
Yeah, it might not necessarily be a bad fit. He's not going to be coaching the team or anything like that, but in terms of developing players and marginal gains, which is something that rugby does very well. Rugby, after learning from British cycling.
But do you know, there is a problem.
What was that about rugby and British cycling?
Well, rugby used former British cycling performance coaches to improve their what's the terminology they use is marginal gains. So looking at
it's all the Dave 1%, Beresford stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. But that was something that rugby learnt directly from British cycling, and if that can then be passed on, obviously they've taken it differently into a team sport like rugby, something that is more closely linked to football. There's going to be parallels, and there's going to be stuff that England can learn from Lancaster.
I don't disagree, right? But they heard this under Woodward. You know, if you improve 100 things by 1%.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think this is, you know, relatively well established. I mean, they can dress it up in different terms and call it different things, but it's basically the same stuff.
Oh, yeah. And after 15 years, the marginal gains are getting ever more marginal.
Yeah.
Because everyone's doing it and everyone understands the principles.
But then again, you have a situation where, and again, just to draw the cross, because it's the Football Association, they're talking about the England football team, you look at the Welsh football team and you realise that sometimes it's just organising yourself well and it meaning that much that you're willing to do what it takes.
Yeah, football's a very strange game, isn't it? In terms of, like, you know, I can't imagine any of those England players don't care, but it's just weird how, even with all of that talent, which they undoubtedly have, far more than Wales, how they just let themselves down so completely. Oh, did you hear the nonce comments?
No.
Live on TV.
What?
No.
So, one of the pundits described the England team as a bunch of overpaid nonces.
Oh, God.
Oh, overpaid, God. Yes.
I can't believe I heard a pundit with an opinion that wasn't on the fence in football.
Well, you know, I mean, nonce is actually a term used for a sex offender in a jail.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is possibly the harshest critique of a team performance I've heard. It's quite amazing.
Oh, dear. Well, just on that one, how does it feel to have watched Wales battle bravely but get pretty battered, understandably, by the world champs, let's put it in context, and then to see the football team doing that?
There is quite a lot of this comparison now between rugby and football, and, you know, you just got to accept that rugby is a minority sport, and we all watch football now. We're all huge football fans.
Every Welshman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've never liked rugby anyway. I've always followed the Welsh football team through thick and thin.
Oh, dearie me. Right, so that's Stuart Lancaster. That's one reason it seems very strange. The other thing is just it's a strange climate, it's a strange world. I'll tell you what's strange is that JB, before we came on the podcast, went, I'm all politicsed out. And I couldn't believe that phrase came out of JB's mouth.
Yep, very, very true.
So here's one for you. With all the weird goings on around the who's going to be leading the country as Prime Minister, if we were going to offer up someone from the world of rugby to become Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, is there anyone else that could be thrown in with Michael Gove, Andrea Leadsom and Theresa May and Stephen Crabbe and all
well,
and the
I
other one?
I don't necessarily think it's about one person. I think it's about the conflicting characters competing for the role. So I'd obviously like to see Haskell run for it.
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, the May type would be someone like an Alan Wynne, experienced battle-hardened campaigner.
Okay.
And actually, yeah, I'd go with Alan Wynne.
Alan Wynne's a good shout.
Yeah.
Good shout.
Is anyone... I suppose, who'd be a young up-and-comer? A Todgy? He could run the country.
Politics, you put it in his hands. Go on, Phil.
Didn't Joe Anscombe, Scottish lad, didn't he do politics?
Joe Anscombe, guy broke his neck for...
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, broke his neck. Played Northampton Centre. I'm sure he did something like politics and economics at Oxford or Cambridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
so he's a bright boy.
So he legitimately could be Prime Minister.
Yeah,
see, there aren't quite the number of servicemen that there used to be in the amateur days, because one of those, like a serviceman who then went into became an international rugby player and then...
Like Rocco de Guni.
Rocco de Guni is in one.
Rocco de Guni. Yeah. Some, fought for his country in two forms. My suggestion was Nigel Owens. I'm thinking Nigel Owens. The only man that could marshal... a cabinet and all that. You can imagine him.
He's more of a chief whip.
You reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
I reckon he'd be going...
Getting everyone in order.
David Dimbleby, it's Nigel. Now, let me just tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing someone on the blue side, a man that looks like the Honey Monster, coming down a zip wire holding two Union Jack flags. That, to me, is a definite red card. You cannot be PM. I can imagine him... holding court.
And what do you think Jonathan Spratt would have to say about the whole thing?
I think he'd say, as far as the economy goes, I say forward! As far as our plans to exit the European Union, I say forward!
Yeah, I think Jonathan Spratt would have a lot to say on these issues.
Oh, dear me. Oh, no, genuinely, right? And here's moving on to the next little topic and maybe a strange thing. I genuinely think Dean Ryan would be... he's got the right kind of character to have that PM role. He's got that sort of calm authority, a long-term planner.
He's a little bit of a snake, though. That's the only thing I'd say.
Or a master of spin, you could put it. Think of the way he managed the referees when he came out with that deliberate public comment about referees.
When I say a bit of a snake, I don't mean it exactly. Well, throughout the whole Lancaster reign, he was a very outspoken critic. And I felt he was a little bit of sniping from the sides. So, yeah, actually, he'd probably fit in today's political climate perfectly.
Perfect for politics.
Well, maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe that's what Dean Ryan exiting Worcester or Drexit. Maybe that's what's going on.
Well, I think Dean Ryan is off to the RFU.
There's been a few... Nothing's confirmed as far as...
Nothing's...
So there was rumours he was going to Bath.
That's definitely not happening.
That was definitely a conversation that was had, though.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
I think it would have been. I think they will still be speaking to multiple people about that role.
Yeah.
There's also rumour with the RFU, like talent management and that kind of stuff, development of youngsters. And he was also mentioned that he'd be part of the Lions next year in some capacity. Not the leader, but...
Oh, really?
Not the head coach. But it's been mentioned in a couple of places that he'll be involved in the Lions next year.
Well, all Worcester have said, after Drexit happened, which was a surprise to most, after that happened, Worcester did say, they did come out and say, after all the rumours were flying around about Bath, and we know there had been rumours about that in the past, so I think, you know, a lot of people put two and two together.
Has there been rumours about Dean Ryan to Bath in the past?
Yeah, there has.
Why? I don't see where it would be advantageous to Bath. Because Dean Ryan's not particular. He's not got a particularly good CV. It's not like you've appointed Jake White or, Eddie Jones or someone of that ilk. You've got a guy who's been relegated once. You've got a guy who consistently underperformed with Gloucester with a huge budget and the best team. And he's done well now. He has turned around Worcester. But I don't think they should be looking at him as a top, top candidate.
Well, I look at him and what he does at Worcester, and he's been excellent. He said, you know, a few years ago, I'm going to base this around the young guys, and that's my approach, and that means we may go down and we will come back up and we will be better for it, and that's proved out. But also he seems to have done quite well with the big name players that he's got. And you look at Bath and they've got quite a lot of young talent, and obviously you've got some big names. So I think he'd be a good character. And plus he obviously has some sort of fear of going further east than in the country. So he only goes to clubs west.
How much better would Dean Ryan be than, say, just retaining Toby Booth?
Well, so here's my issues around Toby Booth. I feel overwhelmingly negative today. I'm going to give you why maybe you should think again about him. But I'm with the majority of people, which is I think he's a good coach. He went to London Irish. He did really good things there. I mean, on the one hand, Dean Ryan had that massive Gloucester team that didn't do much. Well, Dean Ryan took London Irish all the way to the final. Lost against, I think it was Leicester.
Toby Booth.
Well, sorry, Toby Booth.
He wasn't director of rugby at the time. He was head coach.
Was he head coach there?
Yeah.
He was head coach.
Now, he has, but he's only been Bath line-out coach for 3 years. That's all he's done. He's only done the line-out. So he didn't get the director of rugby role after Gary Gold. He's not really been spoken about much at the moment, and you've got to ask yourself, well, why? If he is as good as we think he is, and I think he's good, why have the guys inside Bath not decided to go that way?
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm still waiting for
Hoops.
There's a PM candidate out in the rugby community. Hoops step up. He wouldn't take any.
Yeah, I did ask someone the other day about their views on Hoops, someone kind of connected to Bath, and it was just just this gushing list of positive words.
Yeah. So, well, from what I understand, he already has basically a leadership type business ready to go. But if he does exit from rugby, he's anyway.
What would that be? The Strexit or the Hoop? I can't really.
Shexit.
Yeah.
Shexit. Anyway. Yeah, we'll watch that one with interest. Exactly what is going on. Because the other thing at Bath is there was rumours flying around, some questions about Bruce Craig and is he selling the club?
This is the first I've heard of that. So where is this from?
It was rumours last week.
What? Where were they?
Bath, one of the Bath papers. I certainly saw it in one of the Bath papers.
The Chronicle.
I love the Bath Chronicle. That's one of the best papers for rugby.
I know. Well, it is because I used to live in Bath and no other sport exists.
No,
it's brilliant. You have like 8 pages at the back, all rugby and all one team. It's brilliant.
Completely the opposite of the Manchester Evening News.
Yeah,
which maybe once a week you'll get like a quarter or an eighth of a page dedicated to Sale Sharks.
Or the we used to have the column done by Mark Quato. It was about 200 words, and that was it. More Bath news. Who are they going to play at inside centre?
Bowden.
Oh, yeah.
Bowden.
Kyle Eastmond, obviously.
But that's it
still hasn't been officially unveiled by Sale, but it's the worst kept secret.
So he's been... Bath have confirmed that he's left.
Yeah. But
he's
Sale haven't confirmed they've signed him.
Yes. No, they haven't officially confirmed it, but we all know that that's what's happening.
Did you see the reason that was confirmed why he left?
Go on.
So he was offered a new contract by Mike Ford in January of this year, which he signed. And then since Mike Ford has departed, the club has decided that contract was too high.
What?
And they've rescinded it. So obviously there's some mechanism within the contract that they can rescind it, or it was partially signed and executed, or it was agreed under...
It hasn't actually come into effect yet.
Yeah. So obviously they've acted above board and there was this clause within the contract, but...
Well, they've signed ahead of terms, but I don't know exactly what that is.
I don't know. I don't know what was signed, but that's the principle. They made an offer to him, which he was either accepted or going to accept. And since Mike Ford has left, they've decided that...
Because he'd have been the highest paid player at the club, or one of.
Yeah, one of, probably equal to George Ford.
Wow.
Weird that George Ford got a big contract in the end of last regime, isn't it?
Yeah, he's the highest paid England player.
No.
According to that according article. To that,
yeah, yeah.
According to the article in the Times where it was
how
comparing the England
happen?
Footballers and the England rugby players.
Weird.
Of the England players that played, because I played. Think Tuilagi might, there's talk of him being the highest paid. Yeah.
But Ben Teo is probably higher paid than that now.
So just going back to Drexit for a second, last week there was an announcement from the club that they were increasing Dean Ryan's budget by 25% on last year, and that was obviously one of the things that he did have an issue with, was funding. And also they've spent £750,000 on this artificial pitch. So both of those things show us, it's like a signal of intent that they want to be higher up the league, that they're going to spend
they've
the money to get there.
They've always spent a lot, though, in fairness.
Like Ben Teo and Francois Hugard are two high-profile, big-money signings.
Yeah, and, well, they probably have got the money because if they've got that many academy products in there, they've got a load of academy credits.
Do you
think Dean Ryan's cashing in while his stock's high?
Are you saying that we're experienced peak Ryan now?
No, I'm not suggesting it. I think Worcester could have pushed on, but you look at the league, this year is going to be brutal
in
the Premiership, isn't it?
It is, with Bristol coming up. There
will be no room anymore for... You know, like, do you know, like in football, you get a coach who just has a really good team in the way they go? Kind of like Steve Hansen, right? I don't think that's going to be possible in the Premiership now, because it's going to be so tight. There's going to be no room for ill-prepared teams or teams who haven't got the absolute highest end coaching.
That's what the salary cap does, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the benefit of having the salary
it's
cap.
Amazing.
Or the downside if you're
a coach.
Or if you're, say, a Saracens fan and you want them to win everything, or a Leicester fan who a few years ago won everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at all the French clubs now, I mean, they are. I don't think they play as good a rugby as they do in the Premiership. It might be prettier, you know, the end result might be nicer to look at, but actually the science behind what Saracens do compared to how Toulon operate is completely different.
Yeah,
completely
definitely,
different.
Definitely.
Phil, I think you've prepared like a little, some sort of game of some kind.
I've got a couple for today.
Oh,
I've
wow.
got Who Am I First?
Ooh.
And then maybe if we get time later, I've got a little quiz.
This is what he does with his 12 hours of driving.
I was the one driving the full 12 hours. My missus came with me, and she is insured on the car. But on the way down, I was fine, and then on the way back, there was a lot of booze. It was difficult to drive the car. There was that much booze in it, so I thought it was just best for me to crack on.
Yeah, keep your braking distances.
Jeez. Yeah, God, braking shot. There was
what did you drive?
Like half a ton of
your car.
My estate.
Bloody hell! All right, go on far away. Let's have this quiz.
Well, this is the Who Am I?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay. So, who am I? I am a New Zealand-born rugby union player. I have played internationally, and I have 28 caps to my name.
Right. I've got a funny feeling. I've got a name in my head, but I'm not prepared to...
I've had 4 professional clubs.
Okay.
I have played professionally in the Northern and the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay. Jared Hayne.
He's incorrect.
He's not. Is he New Zealand born?
I don't know.
I know, because I was thinking San Francisco then.
As
the Northern Hemisphere. Because okay. The way you went New Zealand born, damn it, anyway. It's over to JB.
New Zealand born. 4 clubs... What's that?
what's going on?
It's on your computer. Is it your phone?
Oh, it's my phone. My phone's just come alive.
Is that your new ringtone for a text message?
Gareth Keenan, team lead of The Office. I don't know.
You seem to have Tim from The Office as your ringtone.
Yeah, interesting. Right, okay. I'm going to go with...
You don't have to have a guess.
You don't have to.
Dan...
Here another clue.
No, I'll have another clue.
Okay. I normally play scrum half. However, I am sure that Phil from the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast has seen me playing fly half at least once.
Okay. Oh, my God. I have no idea.
So it must be someone that Phil's played against then. So think about teams that Phil would have played against when he was at Sedgley.
Scrum off? A New Zealand born scrum off?
Oh, I know it. No, he'll have more caps than that.
The club I played for first, or the professional club I played for first, was the Canterbury Crusaders.
Good. Oh, no. I have no idea.
He must have, the player I'm now thinking of must have more caps than that.
There is a player who you might be thinking of.
Go on.
No.
One more clue, come on.
Okay.
This is so hard.
In 2011, I travelled to the Northern Hemisphere.
Okay.
To start playing my club rugby for a Welsh team.
Justin Marshall? No, he's got loads more caps.
Justin Marshall is incorrect. Tim, you're back in the game.
Okay. Well, it can't be the one I was just thinking of then.
I then travelled to Northampton, where I played... Four seasons.
I know who
Khan
it is.
Fossil Lee.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, well, you knew that as well. We'll call it a tie.
God damn it.
Call it a tie. Wow. Oh, 28
caps for some
time. I didn't know he started at Crusaders.
He played provincially, Tasman, Hawke's Bay and
Crusaders. So when have you seen him play fly half?
I'm sure I've seen him in either the LV Cup or either playing or covering fly half. So I've never played against him, but I've definitely seen him play fly half.
I was thinking Piriwhippu for a minute.
Yeah, I was trying to lead you down the Piriwhippu route.
Nearly had me. I was thinking Dan Bowden.
Ah, Bowden.
He's four clubs.
Yeah.
So he's Blues, London Irish, Leicester and Bath.
Bath, yeah.
Did you see any Super Rugby? There's two rounds of the regular season left.
No, I've got it recorded for my weekly binge of Haguaras later.
I saw Haguaras won, didn't they? They were...
Shh!
Oh, sorry.
I don't know.
They were ahead at some point
they
in the game.
They were ahead 2 minutes into the game. I did see the Lions demolish the Sharks.
Yeah. Lions are now top in the overall table.
Are they?
Are they?
Yes. So it's the first time that a New Zealand team is not top, which is partly due to the fact that the New Zealand conference is so much tougher than the other conferences. It's quite unfair in a way. But Lions have got two very, very winnable games in their last two rounds, and they are top for the first time.
Wow.
After, like you say, a convincing win against Sharks.
I think one of the Australian teams that have got the Sun Puppies this week.
We need to standardise this. Is it Fire Puppies, Crack Foxes or Sun Puppies or Fire Puppies? Anyway, one of those.
I think Crack Foxes. For me, I personally feel more comfortable with Crack Fox.
All right.
Crack Fox.
The Crack Foxes.
Well, they got taken apart by the Waratahs this weekend just gone. So I don't know who they've got next week.
Talking Super Rugby, someone we've talked about before... I'm going to get the name wrong. I think it's Tanella Tupou.
No.
Tanella Tupou. It was, remember that, there was that video doing the rounds probably about a year ago, or maybe even more than that, of this Tongan school kid playing in New Zealand. This massive dump truck of a, like, 21 stone aged 18.
Is he playing Irish?
No.
He's playing the Reds.
No, he's playing. He made his debut uh-huh. for the Queensland Reds at the weekend. Scored a try, did an amazing turnover, had a brilliant gas break. The guy is legit.
Well, I've heard that London Irish have got a Fijian fella or something like coming through the ranks who's meant to be very, very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, ask your brother.
All right,
he's in the academy there.
That's what I haven't seen him. He hasn't played for the first team. Then I would have.
No, he's just coming through. And also some more a bit more Lanash gossip. Apparently they're going to appoint. Did you tell me this?
No. I think it's been there was stuff going on Twitter. I think there might be some stuff officially done now. Nick Kennedy, director of rugby,
alongside
Brendan Venter as technical advisor.
Oh, yeah. I heard they were after the England and 20s guy, Hogg.
Martin Hogg, yeah. That was doing the rounds, but Nick Kennedy.
Brendan Venter had some good jobs. That's the key to this, isn't it? Don't be in charge of the winning and losing. That's someone else's job to get fired for that. You want to be above the winning and losing and come in as a consultant. Did it for Saracens when he just would hop on a plane, sit in the dugout. He had a great one with Gary Gold when they went back to the Sharks. and did it there. And now he's come back to London Irish. In fact, did he not start his coaching career at London Irish?
He was at London Irish a while ago, wasn't he?
What do they call that in politics when they protect the leader and give them plausible deniability or whatever? Or basically, so they only tell them enough that they kind of have a sense of what's going on, but not enough that they would actually be lying if they testified under oath.
Yeah, so like when he's asking why are all the boys hungover, they don't tell him because otherwise he'll be responsible for it.
He'll be responsible for it. So like Brendan Venter's got that. It's kind of like, yeah, like you say, he can take the credit. When they get to, when London Irish win an old Pilkington Cup back in the day or get to a Premiership final.
It's all for him.
It's all for him. But then when it goes wrong, it's, well, I have technical advisor.
I don't like these consultant roles. You're either in charge of the team and you go down with the team, or you're not. You can't have this halfway house.
Graham Henry's doing that at Leinster. He's come in on a technical kind of consultant basis.
I think that could be a good fit.
The business is not... like, businesses do this every now and again. They have someone come in and sort of assess, like bird's eye view, swoop in, problem solve a few things, work out what's going on, and then patch something up and off you go.
Normally for an astronomical fee.
Yeah.
I don't imagine Graham Henry's cheap.
do they get, like, can you just spend whatever you want on coaches? Does that come into
I think
part
so,
of the
yeah.
playing budget?
But I think that's why Saracens do what they do, which is spend so much money on, is it Deloitte or Kate? I should know this. Deloitte, I think it is.
Deloitte.
To do all their stats. They've got nothing else to spend the money on. They literally can't spend enough money. You know, so you build a plastic pitch, you get some accountants in, and that's why it's so good.
Get Domino's delivering to fans in their seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the gimmicks.
That's a legit business for Domino's, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, obviously.
Did you see the other London Irish news this week?
Nope.
That Ben Franks has committed...
I think I might have mentioned this before. Yeah, I don't know anything for certain, but what I would imagine is probably happened there.
They can't get rid of his salary. You've got to say that.
What I would have probably imagined is, because London Irish pitched that as, we're delighted to announce that Ben Franks will be staying. Actually, what they're probably saying, potentially, is we are announcing that no one else is willing to pay Ben Franks what we're paying him, and he would rather take the cash.
We've overpaid Ben Franks enormously.
That is basically what they're announced. And he's kind of backed them up and saying he's excited about the future in the next few years.
Can't wait to go to Moseley.
Yeah.
I was winning a World Cup last year. Now I'm going to Ealing Trailfinders.
He was like flipping dollar bills into the air as he said this.
Well, what were his options? Like, I could get slightly less than what you're offering me and play in France for all of 11 months of the year.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
And have an easy ride. Moses. I'm actually probably going to Moses. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Good move for Ben. Well done.
No. It was a three-year deal, so he's got another 2 years on his contract. So obviously, that's why he's wanting to stay.
I've not really heard much of Irish shedding many players, though. I know Simons has gone.
Maitland,
yeah, that'll be a big contract.
Mm.
Any others?
Well, Johnny Williams would be a good one to pick up,
that's the Bob Casey came out straight away and said we're not making the mistakes of the past. We're not letting these young guys.
No, and they absolutely can't, because if they do, they lose the academy credits.
Yeah.
I'm convinced now that's the only way to build a team through the academy.
Yeah,
the only way.
And it's more than that as well. That sort of that identity of the team is so important. Like, everyone loves a homegrown player, don't they?
Yeah.
All the fans love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I've got... I'm not going to plug any other podcast today, but I do have a chat with someone who knows about the salary cap very well. And, you know, if you get rid of a... If you buy a... academy product of someone else's academy, not only do you not get the academy credits, you get fined, and that fine goes against your salary cap for that year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably, I remember that was one of the things London Irish were very hurt about in the past.
Yeah.
Is they didn't just lose the player, they lost the academy credits that went with them, like Alex Corbisiero, Jonathan Joseph, Matt Garvey, all these guys that ended up, and you get more when they become international players and stuff like that.
Yeah, so if you wanted to have a... Say, Alex Corbisiero, if he's going to be paid £100,000...
For one PA rap at a club.
He would then... Well, for you, only... if I've got this right, only £70,000 would go against your cap. The problem is, if someone takes him, you then got to not just replace that player, you've also then got to pay a premium to replace the player.
Yeah.
And if it's someone else's academy product and you get fined for it, that then goes against your cap.
Yeah.
So it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. A very good example at the moment would be Mario Itoji, who not only does he get the credits and all that, he's probably paid less than his market rate at Saracens. And if they had to replace him, to get Etzebeth or Ritalik, basically, would be the only boys in the world.
He gets England international credits as well as academy credits.
Yeah, so you're going from whatever he's paid and all the credits to a £500,000 a year player. So it's such an advantage developing talent. Yeah, humongous.
You do wonder, don't you, about the laws of unintended consequences, though? Like, how young are these clubs going to try and start picking up players to get them into the academy?
Like football.
That's one of the things.
They have geographical boundaries and stuff, don't they? Which this is one of the reasons. Like, they're working it out with Wasps where their geographical boundaries are, because they were obviously based in West London and now. Now West Midlands, so so you have geographical boundaries, which is why quite often there's, like, for example, Lewis Moody is Lewis Moody an example? Anyway, Oakham School is in Leicester's catchment, and quite a lot of players end up going there.
Yeah,
and the schools have good relationships with clubs, and then scholarships get offered to take players into the catchment.
So here's a question: why are Newcastle not an absolute powerhouse? They've got the whole of north of England to pick from. They've got some great private schools, and they've got no competition. If you grew up in the Midlands, you can go to Leicester, you go to Worcester, you can go to Wasps now.
Northampton.
But Newcastle, presumably, unless Leeds want you, you just go there.
Mm. It must be a concentration of rugby, because Northern England is more football and rugby league than rugby, isn't it?
Mm, true.
Rugby union.
True that. Yeah. Oh, interestingly, I don't know, whether it was it 2 weeks ago when we asked, someone said there's three England players who went to the same school.
Yes.
We got lots of people answering that one, didn't we? It was George Ford, Owen Farrell and Mara Itoji at Harpenden School.
Yes.
In, near St Albans.
Near St Albans, yeah.
So there you go.
Yes.
Fact.
And, it was state school as well.
Right, shall we get into the two teams that we're going to talk about today?
Yes, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, off the back of Tanella Tupu, basically, watch this kid, Queensland Reds. He's just come through. Unbelievable talent, 20 years old. We talked about him a couple of years ago, but he's just made his debut in Super Rugby, and he looks monstrous. So I would put him in, as we're building up towards the Olympics, I would put him in a sevens team of props. So, different ways to build up to the Olympic sevens. One of the ways we're going to have Rob Vickerman talking us through the intricacies of sevens play in a future episode. But today, let's just quickly cobble together a sevens team made of props.
I'm glad you started with the word cobble, because the one place I would start and someone's captain is Kobolash.
Vadim Kobolash.
Vadim Kobolash.
Wow. Well, he could kick.
From every Sale player to a man that I've spoken to recently has all said the same thing. Vadim Kobolash is the most talented player at Sale.
Wow.
Hands, table tennis, dancing.
Wrestling.
So he
touchline conversions for Moldova's international team.
Yeah.
Yep. So definitely Kobolash.
What? Yeah.
Cool. Kobolash is in. We've got Tupu.
Looking back a few years, two players that you definitely have in, maybe not so much anymore, but Gethin Jenkins.
Oh, ooh, good shout, yeah.
And John Ofoa. Some of his highlights from Super Rugby of his acceleration.
Who was the guy? Ben Watson was a really gas Super Rugby. Was he at the Highlanders or Chiefs in Super Rugby? Anyway, he was good. He was really good. One I wanted to chuck in, looking at a couple of his tries towards the end of the season, Carl Sinclair.
Yes, he's on my list.
Oh, yeah, good.
Gas.
He's got back-to-back, two weekends in a row, identical tries from about 40 metres.
Yeah.
So Kobolash, Sinclair, who's the other
Gethin,
one?
Tupu, Gethin, Jenkins, and who's the other one?
Ofoa.
That's six. Is that five or six?
Phil Vickery back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that
the
one in the corner?
Bull.
Yeah.
Playing for Gloucester.
In that beautiful hooped kit.
And also, the Northampton props of
Tonga Weir.
Tonga Weir back in the day.
Could really play.
Tonga Weir back in the Premiership, obviously.
Is he?
He's just signed for...
Bristol?
Is it Bristol?
Has he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It is.
So we'll have
Tonga. It is Bristol.
We'll have Tonga away against Moog when Sale play.
Yeah. Loose head and tight head.
Yeah.
And the other one as well, who definitely needs to be mentioned, this Hepburn for for Exeter.
That's a great shout.
That boy can run. One who we're not going to mention is Thomas Francis, also from Exeter. that boy.
Do you remember 2003, Richard Band's try, Springboks against New Zealand?
No. Don't remember it.
Let me bring it up now.
Never even heard of Richard Barnes.
South African prop. I think he was a tight head prop. Let me put this full screen so you boys can see.
Oh.
It's pretty poor resolution, 2003, but here you go.
Greatest Springbok tries.
Oh, what?
Celebrating Springbok rugby. Wow, he's quite Springbok-y.
They do just make up.
Here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Go on. Toughest venues in all rugby, Brian. Most
definitely against an All Black side that were on the up that year. Okay, so who's that?
Chester Williams, is it?
It's not Brayton Poulsen.
One of the wingers.
It's Brayton Poulsen.
There he goes. So just
inside.
Just inside the opposition half. That was Carlos Spencer.
Boom.
He just handed off.
That's one of the best tries I've seen.
I can tell you this much. That is what forwards love. Is
they do love it.
I don't know what I enjoyed more, the accents or the tries.
That's brilliant. I think we've got... And so we'll throw it out there. If we've missed a prop that deserves to be in a... prop sevens team, then let us know at Rugby Podcast on Twitter.
There was one scored by an Australian in the under 20s this year. I think it was Australian reserve prop who went about 50 metres against Italy, which was a great try. But I don't know his name, so he can't make it.
No, yeah. you can't.
Unlucky. At Rugby Podcast, tweet us with your suggestion. Maybe, like, again, get thinking for next week as well. Locks would be a good one.
Like, well, one of the interesting things, there is one lock playing at the moment.
What? A genuine bona fide lock?
Yeah, Leone Nakarawa.
Oh, of course.
Who is... I asked the question of Vickerman.
Yeah.
And he said, could any other lock in the world do that? And he said, no. Not even Super Maro.
Wow. Well, there you go.
So that's one, Captain Nakarawa.
So we've got Captain Nakarawa, other second rows for a sevens team of locks at Rugby Podcast. And then any props that we might have missed. Just briefly, because we've got Phil's quiz to do in a minute. But let me set the tone.
What's going on here? What is this? Too much of
anything is not good. Have you seen Harlequin's kit for this season?
Oh,
have I?
Oh,
this is one of the finest kits maybe ever made. I mean, it's up there. It really is. It's the colour palette is stunning. It's just exactly as the kit should be. Exactly as it should be. I couldn't be more happy.
It's beautiful. It's to mark 150 years since the club was founded. And my word, they have... Oh, just look at it. So they've got rid of the green quarter. They've got rid of the... so it's kind of... There's a brown, there's a burgundy, there's a kind of metallic blue and a grey.
It's the blue that I like.
I really love it.
Like the blue.
It looks absolutely phenomenal.
Is it like an eggshell, Tim? Like an eggshell blue.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's getting towards that, yeah. Well, they've definitely got eggshell blue or the Adidas stripe on the shoulder. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It is the finest kit since a solid green Canterbury Leicester kit.
The one with the very narrow hoops.
Oh, that was a nice kit.
That was lovely. That
was a gorgeous kit.
Although, I tell you the other kit, which I think must be making a comeback very soon for Leicester. Do you know the lighter green hoops? Lighter green and they go lighter green and white rather than the racing green.
Okay, yeah.
I really like that kit too.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh,
I prefer the racing, the darker British Racing green.
Well, they go between the two, but it's a fine kit that.
And the picture that they've done to publicise the 150 years and to launch the kit is fantastic. And when you see the original picture from a Harlequins team 150 years ago to the team now, they've just done it absolutely perfectly. It looks fantastic.
Instagram filter.
Oh. So, yeah, Instagram filter. I mean, I want to get the new shirt from Harlequins. I want us to get it and go to town on some Instagram filters, taking some pictures of us.
Definitely.
I love it. The picture, I've got the two there side by side.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Jamie Roberts is the... Well, I can't decide if I prefer Jamie Roberts or Kyle Sinclair, with kind of doing the same, sticking his belly out, like yeah. his arms, yeah. like elbows hanging out a little bit.
I like Rob. I think Rob Shaw looks great.
Where is that? Where's yeah. that picture taken?
I don't know. Is it...
Because obviously that building still exists.
Yeah. Is it at the Stoop? Or oh. their training...
It must be the training ground.
It's been done perfectly, hasn't it?
Who are these two? The guys in the bowler hat. Is one Jason Leonard?
No idea.
Top middle
one,
right.
One is the Mapletoff, Mark Mapletoff, the short one.
And then the one on the right.
It's not Kingston, is it? It's probably John Kingston.
It might, yeah. It does look a bit like... It does look a bit like Jason Leonard.
It's good to see Joe Marchant involved in that pick. That's quite telling, I think. Joe Marchant, the guy who starred for the England under-20s, and we talked about on a previous podcast, and he's in that team picture there. I think he's going to have a breakout year in the Premiership this year. Looking forward to seeing him a lot.
Yes.
Because Quins have needed something in their centres a little bit, haven't they? They've been thin on the ground.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Stash Watch.
Very good.
Very good indeed. Beautiful, that. Hi, Harlequins. hi.
Send us some shirts, Harlequins.
Hi. We could give one away as a prize. We give one away as a prize and we'll have 3 match fit shirts ourselves, please.
Honestly, we won't keep it. We definitely won't keep it.
No, we definitely won't keep it. Just make sure you send 4. right. So, what do you want to do next?
Quiz.
Oh,
yeah. And then we'll do the two teams, the transfers in and out.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Sounds good to
me. Come on, then. Let's quiz it up. Shall I get some Jeopardy music going? What you got, Philip?
Okay. 7 questions.
Okay.
Have you got pens and paper or
no,
got phones?
I'll write it on my phone. I'll write it on the pages thing on my phone.
I trust you too. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't. Okay. First question. Name the Lions scrum half who started for the Springboks versus Ireland. I think he started all 3 tests.
The Lions scrum half who started for the Springboks
against Ireland in the Summer Tours 2016.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Sorry, when you said
we
Lions...
can answer as we go along if we want to stop the writing down.
If you want.
Okay, I've got mine.
I've got it written down.
Faf de Klerk.
1 point for both of you.
Cool.
Number 2. This might be a bit more difficult. Name 3 teams that play in the Japanese top league. And I can say I think there's 16 teams in there now, and obviously the Fire Puppies are not one of them.
What? Hang on.
It's the full names I can't get.
Yeah, I've got bits. Okay, I think I've got 3. People will be mocking me up and down the country with these names if they're wrong.
I think I would have got 2, in all honesty. I don't think I would have been able to get 3. As in, I don't think I'd be... And I'm only accepting full names.
Oh.
If you just gave me, for example, Tokyo, I wouldn't... Wouldn't do that.
I can't work out. I can't tie brands with cities. That's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah. So I've got IBM Big Blue one.
I've got.
Is that an answer?
Yeah.
Okay, Tim. Have you got 3 written down?
I've got one that I'm sure. One that I'm pretty confident of, and 2 that are just total guesses.
Okay.
So
Jay, you're going for IBM Big Blue.
Yeah, I think. I don't know why I think that.
I can tell you. No.
Oh, goodness.
IBM's a US company, isn't it?
It is. Oh, I've got...
Panasonic Knights is the one I've got written down. Is the one that I'm like pretty confident in.
I will give you a point. It's Panasonic Wild Knights, but I will give you a point for that.
Wild Knights out or Wild Knights?
Knights with a K.
Right, okay. What?
I know there's one team. And the only reason I remember it is because it's also a condition... The only one I've got is written down is lupus, but I don't know which team that is.
Oh, I've got Black Rams, but I don't know where the Black Rams are from.
Well, they were associated with a company, the Black Rams.
Is it a tyre company? Rioch or something like that? Like Rioch Arena?
Like what arena?
Rioch Arena, the Wasps ground.
Or Rico.
Is it Rico?
Rioch, it's Rico. Like the old Bolton Wanderers and Arsenal manager, Bruce Rioch.
Yes.
It's the Rico Arena.
Rico Black Rams.
They make printers and stuff, don't they?
Hang on, no. I thought they made... You're right, yeah, they do. So it's not that. I've got a feeling...
I need an answer, Jay.
I've got a feeling it's a tie company and it's Black Rams.
give me an answer for Black Rams.
Yokohama... I don't know. Black Rams, just Black Rams.
Give me a first name.
I don't know the first name.
I know I've got lupus. I've got Panasonic Knights, lupus, and I just wrote down Dayu because I've got a clue.
And Hitachi, I think, might.
Toshiba have a team.
That's the one I was thinking of.
I'm not going to give you any more points.
Oh.
JB, if you'd have said Rico Black Rams, I would have given you a point.
No.
I knew it wasn't that.
What are some of the other teams then?
Toshiba Brave Lupus are a team, so you were very close, Tim.
Yeah.
So
Tim has one, I have none.
We've got Yamaha Jubilo. Jubilo?
That sounds like a...
Jubilo.
Another name for a female body part.
Now, Tim, we've spoken about this.
We've got Kobelco Steelers, Toyota Verblitz, Canon Eagles, Toyota Industries Shuttles.
Wow.
These are very boring. So two Toyota teams.
Terrifying matchup.
NTT Docomo Red Hurricanes, NEC Green Rockets.
This is just a tax write-off, isn't it?
Coca-Cola Red Sparks. Now, Tim, these... Australian, New Zealand, South African players, they do some really good work for these companies when they come over.
We're bringing you over as a consultant.
Exactly.
One day's work in the office.
Consulting on photocopiers, yeah. Obviously, because you've got huge experience about that.
Exactly.
Coca-Cola Red Sparks, Panasonic Wild Knights, Toshiba Brave Lupus, Kintetsu Liners, NTT Shining Arcs, Suntory Sungoliath, Kubota Spears, Honda Heat.
Sungoliath, my favourite team.
Sungoliath, Suntory Sungoliath.
Awesome.
Honda Heat and Rico Black Rams.
Right, next question, come on.
Come on, 2-1 to me at the
2-1
moment.
2-1 to Tim. Which two Sale Sharks players have retired this year?
Ooh, okay, got one, got two. Okay.
Do I write them down?
Yep. Bet I'm wrong, though.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, okay.
Is it only two?
I've only got two. So I've looked back and I can only find two. Two retired this year.
Okay, I think I've got them.
Got something, Tim?
I've definitely got one. oh, goodness. Oh, it's definitely Dan Braid.
I got Braid.
Or is that a third name?
I've not got Dan Braid as listed.
Ooh,
he hardly played this season.
Yeah, I've got Dan Braid. And I've got one other. So you got another one on top of that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've got that one.
I've not got Dan Braid as retired.
Right, so I've got three. No, because I think he's gone straight to coaching.
Well, that is.
But yeah, I've put down Dan Braid, but never mind. So you've got two more, right?
So Dan Braid.
Whoa. On previous podcast, we mentioned him, the going off to do whiskey, Chris Custer.
Chris Custer.
Custer is correct.
I don't have any more.
And one more? Mark Easter.
Correct. No, he's re-signed, hasn't he?
No.
Oh, he's re-signed and then retired.
So Dan Braid, I've got as... He's admitted he may not play again.
Not officially retired. So it's three all. Let's call it three all.
Playing at the end of the season. Yes. Yeah, he has retired.
Okay, so four all then.
Four all.
Four all. Come on then. With good games, quick game.
Four questions to go. Okay. Which South African-born member of Wales' 2013 Six Nations winning team...
Oh, it's skewed for JB. Come on.
...started his professional career at Ospreys?
Which?
South African-born
member
of Wales' 2013 Six Nations winning team started his professional career at Ospreys?
Okay.
Have you got an answer, Tim?
I think it's... Is that it's the second row?
It is.
What's his flipping name? The massive unit, the one who has thousands of calories every day. Oh my God! I can't remember his name.
I remember his name.
Oh, go on, Jay.
Can I get a point with this?
Well, Tim, 5 seconds to remember his name.
Oh my God, he's got brown hair there.
He's got brown hair. He's got brown hair.
Oh, I don't care. Whatever.
It's Ian Evans.
Ian Evans.
It is Ian Evans. That make it 4-4.
Balls. 5-4 to Jay now.
5-4 to Jay. Okay. In this year's European Rugby Champions Cup, last season's winners Saracens are drawn alongside which three other teams?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I only know one.
Have you got anything, Tim?
Yeah, I've got two of them.
Okay.
Okay, so it's...
So I've got Toulon.
Toulon.
Is correct.
Saracens.
Scarlets.
Is correct.
Leinster.
I don't have another name.
Leinster is incorrect.
I'm going to guess.
Okay, one guess. Make it quick.
Glasgow. Glasgow.
Incorrect. Sale Sharks.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. Ouch. That's not a fun group.
So that was...
So Jay's one point ahead.
Still, yep. Still,
still 7-6.
With two questions to go.
Yeah.
Six. Welsh international fly half, Stephen Jones.
He's a fix.
Enjoyed two seasons at which French club?
Okay.
It is...
I know.
So, well, say it at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
Perpignan.
Neither of you are correct.
Oh, Clermont and Verne.
Clermont.
Oh.
No points for Jay.
Damn it. Damn it. Damn. So I'm glad I dodged the bullet there.
You can tie, Tim, with this final question.
Yeah.
Damn!
Which is...
And Welsh.
England international.
Okay.
Stuart Barnes studied at which university?
I'm going to say he studied at... Have you got an answer, Tim?
Seeing as we're all reading Smelling of Roses... The tale of Stuart Barnes' rugby career
and
life.
I know what sounds right. I know everyone's going to think it's Bath, right?
I'm going to go Bristol.
I'm going to go Durham.
Neither of you are correct.
All right, should we have another guess?
Bath.
I'll go Cambridge.
Bath.
Neither of you are correct.
Swansea?
No, I'll just put you out of your misery.
Exeter?
It's Oxford. University of Oxford.
What?
Well done. Good game, Jay. You won.
Yes.
Well played, JB.
Sweet, sweet victory.
Well played, JB. Although the Welsh, there was two Welsh questions, but,
that's all
but
right.
you scored equal on the
yeah,
Welsh
we did.
Questions.
We did. Yep. I let myself down on Ian Evans. There we go. Deserved
big time.
It.
Big time.
So, what we're going to do on the podcast in the off season is we're going to get into the incomings and outgoings with various clubs. And we'll give you a heads up about which clubs are coming up the following week so that if that's your team or if you're just interested or want to give your thought, you can let us know what you make of the signings, who you think you would like to come in and out. But Phil, with his incredible research and 12 hours on the road, has picked out a couple of clubs to look at first, and we're going to analyse their incomings, their outgoings, where their areas of need are, whether how we think they've done in the transfer. It's not really transfer market, but you know what we mean when we say
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So, their recruitment.
So, we're going to start with Saracens at the top?
Yeah, go on then.
Because there's a big argument to say, well, do Saracens need anybody?
It ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Who's left?
Who's left?
Yeah, so income is not good. So, who's left and who's...
Who's out
so,
for Saracens?
Well,
Jack Berger, obviously.
Jack Berger's retired. Charlie Hodgson has retired.
Yeah.
Besides those two, the people leaving, Kieran Longbottom, who hardly played last year, has gone to Sale. Threaton Palermo, hardly played, has gone to USA Sevens, and then I think he's gone to Bristol after that. Rhys Gill, again, who hardly plays, gone to Cardiff.
Oh, Rhys Gill played a bit, quite a bit actually, to be fair to him.
He played a bit. It was more felt like it was Mako than Baz Barrington as your first two props, and then Gill as a third choice loose head. So
Charlie Hodgson's probably the notable hole there in terms of a backup 10, particularly with Owen Farrell being away with England.
Yeah. And they brought in Alex Lazowski.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad signing.
I like it.
Well, I've not really seen enough of him to say anything yet.
That is true. That is probably
so far, he's just a name. Mind you, Todgy was only a name a few months ago.
Yeah, he's a young English guy. Played at Wasps, but never really managed to break into first choice. They've used him a bit as a utility bench player, so he's played a bit at inside centre.
If you were going to be a 10 coming through, knowing that you're going to have, there's going to be periods in the season when you're going to be needed, but there'll be an LV Cup again this season, so
yeah,
he'll be able to be blooded in that, and you're going to be behind that pack. It's a good fit.
Yeah, it's a great fit. And they'll use you exactly as needed, in a sense.
So I think that is a good fit.
Maitland, though, right? That's the big name coming
huge.
In.
That is huge. That is absolutely
He's not the
huge.
Biggest one coming in. So Maitland comes in alongside Rwasa on the wings.
And, of course, you've got Berger as well.
You've got one Berger out, one Berger in.
Yeah, of course.
In Scout Berger coming in.
Oh, wow.
But he's older than Jack Berger, right?
He is older, and he's had a huge number of injury problems. But the last couple of years, injury problems put aside, and he was superb in the World Cup.
He was very good in the World Cup. So, I think Maitland's going to be the real big one there, because he is so talented. He's an absolute unit, and if they can use him properly, he's going to be devastating.
Him and Ashton on the wings finishing off. Oh,
and he wants to get his Scotland place back properly, because with the Lions Test series looming, so
yeah, it couldn't be a better fit. That it's such a dangerous player.
The one other noticeable one, they've got another prop coming in. In Vincent Cock from Stormers to Saracens.
Okay.
Is he the one that played for South Africa A?
He did. Yeah. He did. And he can play tight head prop. So you've got Petrus, who's obviously played, I think he played 31 out of 32 games last season, who's 34.
He's quite an abrasive pop. He doesn't mind getting in the face of the opposition, does he? that was the joke that Ben Kay made on Twitter, wasn't it? Hepburn's got his hands full with Cock.
Good.
He doesn't mind getting in the face.
So
all round, I think we're saying Saracens, they've got direct replacements for the guys who have lost, who are good replacements.
Really good replacements.
And bringing in someone like Maitland and this Fijian Sevens winger and another prop to compete.
They've also
is
got
all good.
The USA prop, Satelli, I want to say his name is. He's maybe very, very good. Young lad.
Okay.
Just coming through. I think about Saracens as well. You don't really know.
Is that TT Lamassetti?
TT Lamassetti. He made his.
What did I say?
Not that. Something similar.
Something near it. But he made his. Yeah, he played out in New York, didn't he? And in that sort of period, towards the end of the season, he started getting some game time.
Yeah, so the thing with Saracens, you don't really know who's going to be good, because they kind of make everyone into a star at some point.
But they know who's going to be good.
Yeah, they
that's
they do.
The thing. Yeah. They know.
Yeah, like Wiles, Long.
We'll go, we're going to sign Chris Wiles from Nottingham. Oh, sorry, what?
Who?
Who? What? No. We're going to sign Taylor.
Duncan Taylor,
He's going to be our inside centre. Thanks very much.
And then he's going to resurrect his international career. And he, by the way, Duncan Taylor got really fast and can now play on the wing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's scoring 50, 60 yard international tries.
Yeah, we're going to take that prop from Jersey, and he'll do just fine when Mako's away.
Yeah. So you don't know who's going to do well there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to do another one.
Just on Saracens, did you see after the England final test, there was a picture of all the Saracens boys in the changing room?
Yes, I saw this.
All celebrating, obviously, 3-0 victory. So there's Cruis, Farrell, Itoji, Mako, Billy, someone else?
Jamie George.
All looking ecstatic. And then Alex Goode, who was not even on the bench for the three tests, like arms crossed, legs crossed, the picture of negative body language kind of shying away in the corner.
Poor old Goody.
Ah, I felt sorry for him.
Poor damn, they're going to be good next year. Saracens are going to be so good next year.
I know.
Yes, ominous.
And the other club?
Although it will make a difference when other clubs can recover, because Saracens, with the squad they've got and the players that are coming in and out, in that World Cup year where it's week after week after week, no LV Cup, it's going to change the dynamic this season again. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, they're going to be good. Who else do you want to look at, Phil?
Well, the other one we're going to do today was Bristol. So we're doing the top of the league and who are effectively bottom of the league coming in.
Newcomers.
Yeah. So, a few people leaving. Matthew Morgan, potentially a bit of a loss. Although from what I saw, they tended to use him more as a replacement, like an impact replacement. Dwayne Peele, obviously retiring, is a big blow. Although he retired prior to the end of the season, so they didn't need him to get promoted. And Ellis Genge going to Leicester.
Mm.
we've still yet to see just how good he can be, but obviously being called up to England
still
is
yet to hear any official word on exactly why that happened, but I think we're probably best leaving that to one side.
Have you heard the stories?
Personal reasons. Let's just leave it at that.
Have you heard the rumours?
Let's leave it off a podcast.
All right, then.
Yeah, personal reasons.
Okay, so coming in, now it feels like they've got some journeymen coming in. Or not necessarily journeymen, some journeymen and some guys who are just maybe not quite good enough. So, Tonga Weir, who was superb at Northampton, then had some unsuccessful seasons in France, his mid-30s now. John Fisher from Northampton.
Yeah,
reasonable.
Yeah, utility back row.
Yeah.
Alongside Jordan Crane, average back row player.
Yeah, that's kind.
Threaten Palomo from Saracens, who's threatened to be good when he's an 18-year-old centre and never really kind of showed that talent. Jordan Williams from Scarlets, who's potentially a good player, but again, possibly never lived up to the hype. Luke Arscott, bit of a journeyman. Martin Roberts from Ospreys, Rodri Williams from Scarlets.
Well, that's Luke Arscott going back to Bristol as well.
Yes.
He went to Bristol from Plymouth. Yeah.
And Tusi Pisi as a fly half from the Sunwolves.
Yeah.
Who's a 34-year-old fly half who is playing relatively well in a poor Sunwolves team. So it doesn't feel like...
I think this year is just about staying up. Because if they didn't go up this year... because they have gone up this year, they've not had a chance to sign the players that they need to compete. So they're in good shape to do so, but it's just about staying up. Next year, I think you'll see Bristol sign a load of big players. But they've already got a ton of premiership experience. You know, you've got Cliff there, you've got... God knows how many XL lads there. You've got all sorts.
And you've got international talent. So Perenisi, Tonga Weir, Ian Evans, Jack Lamb is only young, but multiple caps for Samoa. Obviously, 2CPC, we just mentioned, Big Gav, David Lemmy, Tom Varndell. So you've got players there who've got premiership experience. You've got players with international experience, but
It doesn't feel like it knits, does it?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And like, the other thing...
Lemmy and Crane and... I don't know.
Well, the other thing about Bristol as well is I don't think they play particularly inventive rugby. They're kind of like the Toulon of the Championship. They've never needed to. And now they're going to go up, and it's not going to be easy.
Well, I think this is why it's going to be so devastating for Worcester. Because that's like taking the rudder off at a time when Worcester want to establish themselves as a Premiership force, not be looking over their shoulder again.
Well, do Worcester have Richard Hill there? I've got a feeling Richard Hill is like the head coach. Now, if he is the head coach and Dean Ryan's gone and Richard Hill just steps into that position, he's been there multiple times, I'll be okay.
Richard Hill, Bristol, Richard Hill, rather than Richard Hill, Saracen.
Yes,
Richard
correct. Hill. So Bristol are in a different situation, which is they've got all these coaches, but I don't think they're doing a particularly good job with that team. I mean, it's easy to do what they've done in the Championship, relatively speaking.
What we're going to see, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just looking at that, all the ins and outs in the current squad, I think they've got to be contenders for relegation as things stand.
Maybe. Do you know Callum Sheedy is Welsh?
I do now.
Yeah, I thought he was English.
You also thought he was called Mitch Sheedy.
Yeah, that's Mitch Eady.
Mitch Eady, the number eight.
Mitch Eady, Mitch Sheedy.
Who Mitch Eady is a handy player from what I've seen.
Yeah, I've only seen him play once. I've never seen him play subsequent to that.
Yeah, we saw him play in last year's playoffs.
Yeah.
But I think he must have been injured or not selected. So there was some reason why he didn't play in this year's playoffs.
Bristol are going to have a big crowd coming to Ashton Gate. That'll be worth a few points. Their home crowd will be worth a few points. They're fanatical about their rugby. They love it.
Who on earth is going to get relegated next year?
If you had to...
Newcastle.
Newcastle would be my prime contenders as things stand.
As things stand, I would probably agree with that. But like you say, it feels a big ask for Bristol.
It does. And Worcester losing Dean Ryan, that is a big blow.
That's huge.
Because whoever comes in now at this stage, we're 8 weeks off the start of the season, whoever comes in now has got a small amount of time to either make the changes they want to change or implement whatever they want to do before the start of the season. And obviously they won't be able to bring in any new players at this stage.
Yeah, but back to what I was saying before, if they've got the coaching structure still there. I mean, I don't think Dean Ryan, as a coach, is that good. Maybe as a director of rugby, you know, the overseeing bit, probably, you know, probably a bit better. That's actually not that hard to replace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There is a difference, but the director of rugby should be developing that strategy. The coaches do the doing.
Yeah.
He needs to be understand that strategy. And unless you bring someone in who is exactly aligned with the Dean Ryan strategy, which is unlikely, then it's going to be a change.
I just fear we'll never see the Benteo that Benteo could be now.
So you think he'll never get that England cap?
Oh, it could be. I mean, but I will have a ready-made excuse if the Benteo wheels fall off. Dean Ryan went away.
Peak tail. We've seen it. That's as high as the stock will ever get when he's running into that Saracens defence for -5 yards at every carry.
So if you're a Bristol fan and you're listening to that and you're maybe taking umbrage with us and think we're doing down the recruitment and added to the squad you've already got, then let us know if you've got any thoughts at Rugby Podcast tweet. And then next week we'll put under the microscope who, Phil?
It'll be Exeter and Newcastle.
Yeah, if you're an Exeter fan or a Newcastle fan, so Exeter fans, drop us a quick email of who's in, who's out, who you'd like, and just a little bit of commentary on how you think the season's going to go. And we'll use that.
I think we may have seen peak Chiefs.
Interesting.
Well, you
well, we can talk about it next week, but yeah, I do wonder if have we seen peak Chiefs.
Okay. Well, save that for next week.
We'll save that for next week. Love them and I hope I'm wrong.
Yep. Well, next week, I'll give you a heads up now. I'm very excited. I'm going to be constructing a game.
Are we getting somewhere near Nazi war criminal versus or Springbok territory?
It's not going to be that good, I don't think.
I don't think
ever. No. You guys will enjoy this. You guys personally will enjoy this game far more.
Okay.
Far more. It's going to be epic. Warning.
What a way to wrap up the pod.
Do you know, I work in radio and one of the things that quite often your boss will talk to you about, he'll go, you know, just before you play an advert, you know, we need to try and keep people listening through the adverts because it's, you know, because they can just flick away. So you need to tease what's coming up. And you'll hear that when you listen to the radio now. You'll hear people trying to tease you. Just teased a whole week. That's incredible,
exactly.
JB.
Oh, you know, the problem is I might not be able to organise what I need to organise in time, but if it's not next week, it'll be the week after. And even via audio, it's going to be unreal.
Oh, wow.
I love how you're very quickly backtracking on your promise that this is going to be epic. But I might not be able to deliver, guys, but maybe if I do deliver.
Not next week, the week after.
Amazing. Right, at Rugby Podcast, tweet, subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Acast, cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Join in the get the best razor on the market, voted number one in the GQ Awards, and find out why for as little as £4 with a £10 discount. Get the best razor in its class and get your premium engineered engraved shaft. And there you go. Are we done, boys?
There we are.
Oh, we are done. We are done. There you go. The only rugby podcast that is 52 weeks a year because we love rugby. At Rugby Podcast, get in touch with us and we'll see you next time. Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Good work, JB.
Bye-bye.
In a bit.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.